the Macomb Library for the Blind, welcome to our podcast, Change in Vision, Change in Attitude, where we talk about ways sighted and visually impaired individuals can successfully adjust to vision loss. I'm Barb Shipman.
And I'm Sharon Latosky.
And we are on episode 4, where we are going to discuss the low vision traveler. Mm-hmm. All right. So this is a very fun topic to talk about because Sharon is a well traveler. I love to hear her stories or her adventures and experiences with traveling all around the country. And so we're going to talk about traveling with visual impairment. So Sharon, I'm going to start out by asking you, what are some of the concerns people with vision impairment have about traveling, whether it's traveling alone or traveling with family or friends or even just getting out there for the very first time?
I think the biggest issue is that people are really fearful of the unknown. What's going to happen? How is it going to happen? What if I get lost? What if I leave something behind? What if I forget something? What if? And I think that makes it more difficult to just get out there and just do it.
So what are your suggestions or recommendations to get over that that feeling of, you know, what ifs? I mean, what can you tell somebody who loves to travel but is afraid to do so because of the visual disability?
Well, you know what? First and foremost, if people are going through the what if scenario, I usually suggest that people really consider what is in it in your mind and then figure out, okay, if that actually happens, what am I going to do? All right, so I get to the wrong hotel, for instance. And that just came to my mind. It's never happened to me, but what would I do if that would happen? You know, how would I handle it? Who would I call? How would I get to the right place? It's a little bit of a mind game because you are just trying to get yourself in a frame of mind that says, well, whatever happens, I'm going to be able to handle it.
That is a good advice. And as a sighted person, I also go through the same emotions.
Sure.
When planning a vacation, it's very stressful because you got to pack, you got to make a reservation for transportation, whether you're driving a car, a rented car, or flying. And even getting a hotel or maybe staying over at a family's home or a friend's home, mm-hmm. As well. So how does one prepare for a trip before, you know, actually going on a trip?
Well, I think as anybody who is planning for a trip, you've got to I guess there's four areas I think that we were looking at. Mm-hmm. One of them being just packing. And I know that sounds kind of trivial. In fact, I have a packing list that I refer to every time I'm traveling. It's a set list. I know exactly what I'm going to need based on past trips, what I may have forgotten, what I've discovered that I did need, and it goes into my just regular list that I look at every time I'm starting to plan a trip. What's important to me as somebody who can't see very well is that I not only pack the clothes and the things that I think that I might need, that anybody would need, but I also think in terms of trying to be almost like a self-contained unit, if you will. So I make sure I have snacks because I don't know how easy it's going to be to find the nearest Starbucks or the, do you know what I'm saying? So I have to be, it makes me feel better to know that, okay, if I get hungry, at least I've got these snack bars. It's something as simple as that. Mm-hmm. I also want to make sure that I have all my low vision devices. That's pretty crucial. So I use a video magnifier that has to be in there. My iPad has to be in there with all the charging cords that you need for that. those are the two things that I absolutely have to have. That and my two things that I absolutely have to have. That and my what do they call them? Earpods. AirPods. There we go. It's the AirPods.
Yeah, there's different names for it.
Yeah. Right, right. But anyway, I have to make sure those are in there. Mm-hmm. Now, this last trip I took, I did not have it on my list. And when I got to my destination, I discovered that the AirPods were still sitting on my desk at home. And so it was a bit of a problem. But it does happen. You know, I do forget things. So packing is first and foremost. It's the beginning of the trip, which is just as exciting as taking the trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I experienced the same thing where I'm not only worried about, you know, the right type of clothes to wear, but what kind of devices am I bringing? I like mm-hmm. to bring my Bluetooth speaker because I like to listen to music.
Yes.
Wherever I'm at, whether it's in a hotel or at my in-laws' house. And chargers are also important because I know my in-laws are not tech people, so I don't, you know, I know that I'm not going to be able to borrow their charger because they won't have it. So that's one of the things that I have to remember to bring, because I also bring my smart devices as well, because I use that to, you know, for directions also. So
the other thing that I noticed this last time was that not everyone has Wi-Fi. You know, you can be traveling around and not have that, and that does sort of influence what you can listen to on your devices if the Wi-Fi is not available. So those are the things you have to make sure as well, to make sure you've downloaded the things that you really want to read or listen to. Mm-hmm. Sort of thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of pre-planning involved, especially in this age of technology where, you know, we're no longer bringing print books. We're bringing our smart devices and accessing books there. Or like our library patrons here at Macomb Library for the Blind, they bring their talking book player with them wherever they go, as well as their, a good amount of audiobooks, too, to listen to while they're on vacation. Mm-hmm. All right, so besides packing, the next thing is, how do we get there? How do we get to our destination, whether we're carpooling, driving with somebody, or to take an airplane or a train to the destination? What are some advice that you would give somebody who is using these types of transportation to get to their destination?
You know, I think the planning is different depending on what sort of transportation you're using. So, for instance, if I'm traveling in a car, I'm going to pack differently because now I don't have to worry about things like weight or, you know, the sizes of the bottles or anything like that. So even something as simple as I'm in a car as opposed to a plane does have influence as to, you know, what I'm packing, what I'm using. If I'm going on a plane, that starts with even just booking the flight, knowing that I want a nonstop flight, knowing that I want to leave, you know, in a certain time frame. I don't want to. At that point, I am also contacting the airlines to see what sort of accessibility and accommodation features they have. I let them know in my profile that I cannot see, and therefore, you know, here's why I want to be seated, or that sort of thing. They need to be aware that I'm going to need assistance when I get off the plane and things like that. Train travel is probably similar to me, at least to car travel. It seems I would be packing the same way, making the same sort of arrangements. We haven't talked about this yet, but there's a little bit of a difference to if you're traveling on your own or if you're traveling with sighted friends in terms of the arrangements that you make. Even if you are traveling with a sighted person, sighted companions, I am still making arrangements, say in the airport, as if I was out there by myself. As I've traveled alone, I've traveled with sighted folks, and I prepare the same way in terms of the accommodation part of it, because I'm going to go through that security line on my own with an assistant, I should say. I'm not going to go through that security line with the people I'm traveling with. It's just a lot easier.
Okay. Now you talked about assistance at the airport. Now, how does one request for assistance? Is it something you do beforehand, or you do it right there the day of your traveling?
I do it the day of.
Okay.
When I'm at the airport, all the airports do have some sort of accommodation set up for people who are traveling with disabilities, whether it's hearing issues, sighting issues, sight issues, whatever. So generally when I get to an airport, first of all, I'm taking the transportation out to the airport is usually maybe an Uber car, something like that. And I get to the airport and have them drop me off where the sky caps are, or the red caps, they call them. Sometimes in the different airports, they call them different things. But these are the guys and gals that you check in there, you give them your suitcase, they check it in right from there. And they will make sure you get your wheelchair or your assistant by actually taking you to the area where you're going to need to get that assistance. So it's not something that's preset, but something that you need to be more careful about, where you're being dropped off, that sort of thing. Once you use a wheelchair, or you can just have a sighted assistant, you know, walk you through the process, whichever you feel more comfortable with. Or especially in my last trip, it had to do with, I took the sighted guide, a sighted assistant without the wheelchair because I was running out of time. It was really busy. It's the middle of the day, which is a hard time to travel because it is very crowded. It took a longer time to get an assistant, and I'm watching the time wondering if I'm going to miss my flight. So that time I just walked instead of waiting for a chair.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, that's very good that service is available at
yes.
airports.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, I remember one instance that you took an Uber, to the airport,
mm-hmm.
but you had called the Uber or the Uber driver that they arrive at your house because it was
yes.
an early flight.
Yes.
You want to explain that a little bit, how that worked?
Yes. I'm blanking on what this actually called. Well, actually, it's scheduling a ride in advance, and it's
okay.
part of the app, and you can schedule that the day before. And they will not only confirm that you've scheduled it, but the next morning they started contacting me. I think it was maybe 15 minutes before they were supposed to arrive. And then, you know, as the driver arrived, I knew that they were there. And it's so that was all set up. And I so far have not had a problem with that. They just, it goes pretty smoothly.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's also good to hear that option is available too through
mm-hmm.
Uber.
Yep.
So the next thing is lodging. So once you know mm-hmm. you get to your destination, which could be a hotel, it could be you know a friend or family's home.
Mm-hmm.
How can somebody with vision impairment go to the anything special that they need to look for once they or do once they arrive at their the place that they're going to be staying.
Okay, well there's two scenarios, I guess. Mm-hmm. The way I see it, it's you're either going to a hotel or you're going to someone's home, mm-hmm. and you may or may not know them very well. So in terms of going to someone's home, especially if you're not familiar with it, and even if you've been there before, you have to remember where all the stairs are. You have to remember where all the step downs are. You know, how do you get to the restroom? Where's the bedrooms? How do you get down the hallway, the kitchen? All of that stuff needs to be sort of revisited, pardon the pun, but sort of just you need almost a little bit of a mini, you know, orienteering around that property. And that's fine. You can ask them. It's like, okay, wait a minute. Help me remember where, you know, how do I get, you know, where's the bathroom from here? Where's how do I get out to the deck? You know, that sort of thing. Last time I was traveling and I went to a hotel, I called them the day before and let them know that I was coming, that I would like to get a room on the first floor if possible. I wanted them to know that I was going to need assistance in the morning for breakfast. And that helps them plan, do some pre-planning as well. And I even asked them as I was talking to them, you know, are you going to be there tomorrow, or is this message going to be passed on to somebody else, that sort of thing. I find that being on the first floor just makes my life easier. If I couldn't get a first floor, I'd get a room near the elevator. When it was time to go down to breakfast, I just called the front desk and said, gave them forewarning. I'm coming down. Is there someone that can assist me? Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is, again, communicating with the staff, just like you would with a friend. You know, you just kind of think about what you're going to need and do some advanced communication with them so that they have an idea of how to help you and how to assist you, as opposed to just walking in and say, well, here I am. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. You need to, I think, just kind of give them a fair warning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that is probably, you know, good for both parties, you, the traveler, and the staff members there at the at the place, or family or friends that you're staying with. And I do the same thing too when I go to hotels, which I love to do. The first thing I do is find where the ice bucket is, or where the ice machine is. That's the first, in the vending machines. I'm like, where is that? And then, you know, once I find out where it's at, then I'm okay. Everything's okay.
Yep.
But yeah, I like to be familiar with the layout.
Yes.
You know, kind of pretend that you're at your home and you want to be familiar with where things are at. Yes. So yeah, that's the communication is key. That's very important.
There's another safety, security kind of a thing to also consider, because you do want to know where the exits are.
Mm-hmm.
And you do want to know how to get to those exits. I think the last time I traveled by myself into a hotel room, I had one of the staff people actually come into the room with me and show me, here's where the phone is, here's how you turn down the thermostat or you know, whatever it is. But again, walking out into the hall, and okay, how do I get to the elevator, and how do I get to the exit should I need to get out of here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very good. I remember one time we stayed at a hotel in Ohio. I think we went to Cedar Point, and there was actually a fire alarm that went off at the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine. I mean, I was in panic because I was in deep sleep, woke up, and, you know, I'm a sighted person, so I know, and I was on the second floor, I think, knew where the stairs were, and, you know, my daughter was with me at the time, so we both, you know, got out of the building okay. Luckily, it was just burnt popcorn. I think somebody just overcooked their popcorn in the microwave.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I can imagine what it's like for somebody who is alone, who does have, you know, low vision, or who is blind. You know, what would they do in that situation? And I hope that a staff member would, you know, walk them through beforehand, you know, or the person can familiarize themselves with the layout of the hotel. So and I want to add something else too, which I've never done before, is go on a cruise. And I know Sharon, you have.
Yes.
So could you share your experience with that, anything different?
Well, what I found was there's not a lot of pre-planning for accommodation from the cruise line's perspective. Now, this was, I'm going to say, 4 years ago, perhaps, that I went, or maybe 5 years ago. And I did have the experience where I did contact them ahead of time, and was disappointed to find out that once I did get on the ship, I was really looking for someone to kind of walk me around the ship to see where things were and how to get down there and all that. And for the most part, that does not happen. However, fortunately, the last cruise I was on, I had the experience, somebody knocked on my door, I opened the door, and here's this woman who said, well, I'm here to help you out, I understand you have low vision, and so I'm here to, I was flabbergasted, I didn't realize she was coming, and she did, we set up the phone so I could, you know, dial it easily, she walked me down to where the elevators were, need to leave to go downstairs. And if you're on this elevator, you're going to go down closer to the dining room area. And if you go on the other side, it's going to be the theater. Mm-hmm. Just really oriented to that particular floor. Made sure I got the Braille daily newsletter that they hand out showed me how to use the TV, the whole thing, you know. And I was surprised that's the first time that had happened, and I was pleasantly surprised. It was great. It was wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah.
That's good to hear, because yes. That makes you want to come back for another cruise.
Yes, it
right?
does.
Okay. So we've covered all the steps that, you know, anyone needs to do, everybody needs to do when planning a trip, which is, you know, preparing for your trip, mm-hmm. which includes planning, like calling ahead, if you can, to the place that you're going to stay at, or even, you know, the airport or Uber, mm-hmm. Schedule a ride the day before, as well as packing your clothes, packing snacks for your trip, and also packing your devices too, yep. which is becoming more and more important. And transportation, we talked about airlines and Uber, trains, cars, and even cruises. So is there anything else, Sharon, that you would like to add to the Traveling with Low Vision podcast?
Well, it's down to the communication between the people you're traveling with, if you are traveling with folks. And just sort of letting people know how they can be helpful, what you might need from them. Even have an honest discussion about, here's what I don't need. You know, and you do it in a very... in a kind way, you know, that says, you know, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we're traveling together. I want to make this, an enjoyable trip for both of us. So I'm going, and I make a point to tell them, if I really need some assistance, I will let you know. I will, do not be afraid that I will not mm-hmm. say anything to you, because I will. And I'm not afraid to ask for help if I do need it. But for the most part, I'm going to give it a try myself. If I get stuck, I'll let you know. And mm-hmm. and we set up those ground rules ahead of time. And I might even ask them, what can I do? How can I make this easier for you? You know, as a sighted person, because you know you might be concerned about me, my safety, what I might need. You know, that sort of thing. I remember traveling with one of my friends. Out to Charleston, which I like to go to every year. And we did have that discussion. Well, what time do you usually get up in the morning? Do you have coffee in the morning? Do you, what's your schedule like during the day? What do you like to do? Do you like to go out sightseeing? Do you want to just go walk on the beach? It's almost like planning for the trip in general. What's going to make this trip, you know, a good one for you? What kind of things do you want to do? What do you want to see? And then you work from there as to how are we going to make this happen?
Mm-hmm. And I think that advice would work for any situation, you know, mm-hmm. Even for a sighted person also. I mean, knowing
yes.
what the schedule is for your family and friends, so you can kind of, you know, work around it if you want to do something on your own, or if you want to do something with them. I think it's wise to ask
yes.
In advance.
Keep it open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, it'll benefit both
yeah.
folks. So
I mean, trips are, you know, traveling is supposed to be fun
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
as much as possible,
mm-hmm.
and it really is.
Mm-hmm. And I think the
yeah.
pre-planning helps.
Yes,
helps make it fun.
Absolutely.
And I love this advice that you give at the end of every episode that we've done, is don't be afraid to ask. Always ask, and mm-hmm. that's true for low vision travelers as well as sighted travelers, because you're going probably to a place that you've never been before and you don't know. So it'll make things easier if you just ask.
That, and again, everybody's low vision is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have different, what's going to work for me might not work for the next person. So it's always, always important
mm-hmm.
to keep that all open,
mm-hmm.
upfront, direct.
Correct.
You know, that sort of thing. Yep.
Well, I hope this episode has inspired you to our listeners to go on that vacation.
Yes.
You know, it's fun, and Sharon knows firsthand how hard it is to come back from vacations.
Well, that's true.
And same here too. I wish I could go on more, more vacations, but that's where the
We're always
near
looking
future.
Forward to our next trip.
Yes, it's always fun. Planning, yeah. It's always fun to plan. So that leads us to the end of our low vision traveler episode,
yes.
And we've got two more episodes together.
Yes,
and so the next one we still need to. Think about what to.
We have so many possibilities.
I know.
Yes, there's so many aspects to this mm-hmm. lifestyle that mm-hmm. that just is amenable.
And
to.
We're having too much fun. We can't. we can't quit, can we?
No, we just can't stop ourselves.
No. So, if anybody out there has any feedbacks or want to share your story about traveling, please send us any questions, suggestions to our email.
Yep.
MLBPH@cmpl.org or give us a call at 586-286-1580.
Absolutely.
So from MLBPH, this is Barb.
And this is Sherry.